never shall die. Oh, never grow old, never grow old in a land where we'll never grow.
It's good to be here this evening. Really warm welcome to Brother Alex's family. God bless you, sister. We're glad to have your children as well. And to everybody else who's here, God bless you, sister Anna, as well. Good to see you. Let's open our Bible straight away. We want to just get straight into the Word this evening. Psalm 139. And we want to just start our... Okay, so we are wanting to have a look this evening at a thought. Psalm 139, we'll take verse 14, I think it is. And our thought is your calling, your career, and your temperament. That's what I wanted to have a look at this evening, just in answer to a lot of questions. Once you start speaking about somebody's calling, somebody's career, it's amazing how many people are really, really interested, because all of us want to know the will of God for our lives. None of us want to walk outside of his will in any aspect of our lives. We'd really, really desire to please and to worship him. So, Psalm 139, 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we've gathered in this place upon this evening, Lord. We've come from different things. We've come from activity. We've come from busyness. We've come, Lord, from the, Lord, challenges of this day, the challenges of this life, and how we need grace to come unto you, to worship you, and to fellowship with you upon this evening, Lord. May your blood wash us. May your grace meet us where we are. May your spirit quicken us. Father, may you draw near to our souls. Speak unto us, we pray. And Lord, we desire one thing, that you'll guide us according to your will this evening. Bless your people that have tuned in as well, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's be seated. God bless you, saints. It's pretty, pretty tropical in here. So now that protocol has been observed, we'll get ourselves a little bit like that. Okay, so we need the keyboard there this morning. Sorry, saints. I have forgotten about the cable here.
I'll read the question.
It's okay, bro. If you can help, it'll be great. That's so much better, just in the side. Okay, so technology is good, but it never takes care of itself. So we're looking at your calling, your career, and your temperament, which are three very big topics. The most important, obviously, being your calling. Because who wants to come to the end of their life having failed to fulfill their calling? None of us want to do that. And we read it there, David is saying that the Lord made us for a purpose. Let me just put this as full screen. The Lord made us for a divine purpose, and we want to fulfill that purpose. That's your calling. The Lord, David says, when you were yet unfashioned, when you were yet in your mother's womb, God already had written your members in a book. The Lord had already written your life. He had written exactly who you were going to be, what temperament you were going to have. Everything which you are, he wrote it inside of his book. Now, many times we want to change this and we want to change that, and we say, why am I like this and that? But you find out that he knows best. Yeah.
If he gave you a big nose, it was the best thing for you to look at. If he did, he really knows what's best. And one day when we get there, we'll fully understand that he knows what's right. That's right. He knows exactly what's right.
Yeah, and David, he really understood that principle. So your calling is really supreme. But what about your career? We'll see it. You don't want to get yourself in the wrong job. We were speaking about it at church the other day. And these things link together with your temperament, the way that the Lord made you. And the thing comes down to, why do you act the way that you do? Have you ever asked yourself that? Why do I act the way that I do? Why do I behave the way that, why do I react the way that I do? All of these things are ordained unto us. Don't you ever, like everybody, wish at some stage you can delete the inapplicable here? Some people, they're quiet. They say, I wish I could be more outspoken. You know, I wish I could be a little bit more bold to speak to people. And then the people that are outspoken say, I wish I could be a little bit more quiet. It's just human nature to be like that. Some people want to be more confident. If only I could be more confident, then I could do more for the Lord. Or some people say, if I could be more flexible, because me, I'm too, once I make up my mind, nothing can stop me. Or maybe I wish I could be more friendly. And when I sit next to somebody in the aeroplane, I don't want to just feel awkward all the time. I wish I could speak to somebody. And some people can do that. So we all wish in some way to be like that. And it comes down to, why do you behave the way that you do, rather than the way that somebody else does? No, you can't just be what somebody else is, no matter how much you admire them, no matter how much you would desire some of those characteristics, because you lack the qualities. And it can be frustrating if you don't want to be yourself. If you want to be somebody else, it's going to be really a frustrating life. And I think that is the most blessed thing of coming to the Lord, is when you find yourself in Christ. Now, when you can just rest in Christ, just be yourself, just put yourself in His hands. You don't have to put on pretensions. You don't have to try to make yourself something that you're not. That is how life should be lived. But we're living in a social media age, a Facebook generation, where it's the image that counts. You know, and there's all the peer pressure that you've got to be like this and you've got to conform to. I don't know who makes up the rules that you've got to conform to. And that's a high-pressured life, trying all the time to live according to something which God never made you to be, or God never wanted you to do. You'll never be comfortable in that. But why do we behave the way that we do? It's a simple answer. It's your temperament. Your temperament is what makes you behave the way that you behave. You know, it makes you act the way that you act. You know, it makes you react the way that you react. It's your temperament. And even the new birth, when you're born again, doesn't take away your temperament. You're simply putting your temperament into the hands of the Lord so He can use it for His glory. But He never changes your basic temperament, because God made you the way that you are to fulfill your calling, to fulfill your purpose in earth. What is temperament? If you really think about it, what really is temperament? Your temperament is your basic nature. That's what it is. You think of it, the real basic nature. Who are you within the veil? Now, your name might be Stephen, or your name might be whatever, but who are you really? What are the attributes that you have? What is your characteristics that you have? They say that your temperament, this is Collins Dictionary, is your basic nature, especially as is shown in the way that you react to situations or to other people. So the way you're going to react, the way you're going to behave, when you find yourself in a crowd, how do you behave? That's your temperament. When you find yourself under pressure, the way you react to that pressure, that's your temperament. These things are inbuilt. Now, unfortunately, we fallen beings, when you come into this world and Satan gets a hold of us, and he uses these things so much. And we end up doing a lot of things that we regret in life. But when you put yourselves into the hands of Christ, that's when the real temperament starts to shine through. Then you start to see really who you are. When you're in the hands of the Lord, when you're in the Spirit, that's the real you. That's the image that God wanted you to be. So we want to get it down to your calling, your career, and your temperament. These three things. Brother Bram says this, I like it. He says, when people come and ask him about spiritual gifts and ministries and callings and that, he says, always do this, brethren. Whenever you feel you're supposed to do a thing, usually the way I watch for it myself, he says, this is me. He says, I watch the nature of the person. So he says, when somebody comes and sits down and says, I really feel that I want to be an evangelist. Or I really feel that I want to, you know, be a pastor. Or I really feel I want to do this, that. He says, the first thing I look at is I look at the nature of the person. He says, because why? And see what kind of a gift they're professing. He wants to see, does the nature match the gift? Does what you wanted to do for the Lord match the way the Lord made you? He says, because God will work with this creature the way he's made him. And that's a key. God's going to work with you the way that he made you. So there's never going to be anything which is too hard for you to do if you're in the will of God, because God already equipped you for that.
Now, if he's going to want you to stand in front of a lot of people, you might think like Moses, I can't speak.
And the Lord's going to say, who made your mouth? How can you tell me that you can't speak? I'm the one who made your mouth. Yeah, and sometimes it's the comfort zone that is the enemy to this, is because we've conformed ourselves to our own limitations. We say, I could only do this. I'll never be able to do that. I've learned it now as a believer. Never say never to the Lord, because it's very surprising what God can do in the lives of people. When a person really gets filled with the Holy Ghost and gets themselves yielded to the Lord, it's incredible how much a person can get out of the comfort zone. What a person can become when they yield themselves to the Lord. You know, so Brother Ram says that. He says God will work with his creature the way he's made him. And if that holds true to your spiritual calling, your spiritual career, the path that God has, what about in your natural life as well? It's going to hold true. You know, you're going to find something that God made you. You're going to fit together in this. That's going to be the line, because the Lord didn't put us on earth to be lazy. Right from Eden, Adam was put into the Garden of Eden to till the garden, to look after the garden. No one was supposed to just sit at home on the brew their whole life and just get benefits. And that's not how it's supposed to be. There's a purpose that we're supposed to be fulfilled. Unless it's medical, whatever, and there's reasons for that. But God always has a purpose for somebody inside of their life. And you'll never feel fulfilled or satisfied inside of your life if you're not in that purpose. You'll have some partial satisfaction, partial fulfillment. But if you're not in the will of God, you can never be satisfied, because God made your soul like that. The only time you find real satisfaction is when you're in the will of God, when you're doing his will. And that's naturally as well as spiritually. Because if God called us in this age, in this life, he knows the complexity of this age. He knows the pressures of these occupations. He could have put us back in the days of Abraham when it was an easy life, agricultural life. He could have put us back in the days of Peter, James, and John. You know, we could have been fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, but he didn't. He placed us now. Therefore, he must have equipped us for now. Amen. You know, so he knows that, look, you might have to go, work for the council or whatever it is. You go and work for quality control, you a mechanic, or you're a teacher, whatever that you are. That's part of God's purpose for your life. Yeah, because you have to have some way. Paul says, if a man doesn't work, he shall not eat. Solomon said, consider the ant, you sluggard. If he doesn't store up food in the summer, he doesn't eat in the winter. And you see those bees and all of them, how busy they are. When the season is right and they need to collect that nectar so they can store up and get the next generation to come forth. When they say as busy as a bee, it's true. And they don't have any boss over them, you know, telling them, looking at the watch, saying, hey, you're not on time today. It's just inbuilt inside of them. You know, God made them like that. And there's such examples that you learn from nature. So this is going to hold true both naturally and spiritually, because if you look at the divine blueprint for your life, now that divine blueprint for your life, it operates at a certain frequency. You know, God had a certain frequency that your life should operate at. You might be a gentle sort of a person. You might be a brash sort of a person. That's going to go along with the way that God's going to use you. You might be a talkative person that your people can't get you to stop when you get started. You might be a quiet person people can't get you to start. Now, we're all made in a certain kind of way. There's a frequency in God's design for you. He made you the way that you are for his glory. That's what it's supposed to be. And to be a blessing and to be a benefit to other people. So in his blueprint, when he wrote you in his book, when he formed you before the foundation of the world, there's a certain frequency, a certain temperament that he put. And your temperament is absolutely unique to you. Because who you are is not only going to be just by your basic temperament you have, but it's going to go along with what you've been through, your life experiences. know, the hardships, the trials you've been through, all of those things will shape you into something that no one else can be you. No one else can hit that same frequency that you hit. You are really, really unique. So you're wired in a certain way. And you're uniquely wired. But you're going to have similar characteristics to other people, because not everybody is absolutely different than everybody else. You're going to find a lot of people very similar to yourself in many, many ways, because they have a similar temperament to you. Now, this temperament, the key to it is in whatever you're doing. Let's say you're looking for a career. So there's all different kinds of jobs. Maybe you think, maybe I'm going to be a doctor. That's a certain frequency. That needs people of a certain blend. That needs a certain mix of character inside of someone, you know, to be able to handle that. You might say, I'm going to be a surgeon, or you might say, I'm going to be a dentist. You'll see them there. Or you're going to be an astronaut or atomic engineer, some big guy like that, or work as a lab technician, or maybe be a vet. Each of these operates at a certain frequency. And there's a frequency that operates inside of you. And you've got to find the frequency that matches now. You've got to find that there's something, the way it works inside of you, you're going to find something. And when you start getting down that line, I remember speaking to Brother Noah Chwanzwa from Zimbabwe years ago. And just when I first got in IT, computers had just first come out those days. And he said it to me, I met him one day, he said, Brother, what are you? And I said, I'm in IT. He said, I think I could also be interested in that. He says, if you want to know what you're called to do, he says, even though it might be your job, you'll find yourself buying the magazines or looking at those magazines at Tesco. Yeah. Like if you in IT, if it's just something you do to earn money, when 5 o'clock comes or 4:30, whatever your time you knock off, you forget about it. But when you've hit the right frequency, when you're down there waiting, or you've got your hobbies and that, it'll go very much in line with the job that you got. You've got an interest outside of work in that thing. That's a blessed condition to be in, friends. No, to really, really like your job. My, that's an unheard of thing in this day and age for someone to actually like their job. For someone to actually want to go to work. But that's how it should be. Adam used to want to go to work. God didn't have to come down every week and say, hey, you're not keeping your time clock right. Adam was somebody who, he was right in the frequency of his calling. So, in your career, and it's going to be the same in your spiritual calling as well. Maybe you're a song leader. That's a certain frequency. The prophet says different anointings, you know, different ministries have different anointings. That's like a frequency, the way the Spirit works in one person. If they call to something, the Spirit works in another way in another person. You might be a Sunday school teacher. That's another frequency, dealing with children. Now, there's certain people you wouldn't want to put near children just because of the way that they made. You know, they'll have them marching up and down and things like that because they don't have that temperament to deal with that particular task. That's not the frequency that their temperament operates at. You might be a minister. There's different ministries as well, and they operate at different frequencies. Or you might be an intercessor. That's a serious frequency when you can get in tune with the Lord and you can feel for the town you're living in, your neighbors, and you make an intercession on behalf of people. Not everybody can do that. That's when somebody can shut themselves in and get on their knees and pray and, you know, really speak to the Lord, rise up into heavenly places. That's a great gift. But you need to find in the body of Christ, just like in your career, you need to find in the body of Christ, what is your calling? And something will resonate inside. Like we said on Sunday, one way that you know is because somebody else will come and minister. Maybe you're a minister and they minister down a certain line. And the deep calls to the deep inside of you. It like wakens the deep inside of you. Because they're operating at a frequency and there's a resonance now inside of you. Or you read somebody's autobiography and you say, wow, that really spoke deeply to me. It stirs you up and you want to go and do something similar for the Lord. So, but these things operate according to these kind of laws. And like I said, the new birth doesn't change your temperament, the frequency you operate. It simply aligns it up with the divine frequency. Now, what God's thoughts were for your life, what God's purpose and plan was. You're not going to be fighting against God's purpose. Before you're born again, you're going to be contending with the Lord. Yes, you're going to have a hard time. But once your soul is operating at that divine frequency, that spiritual frequency, you're now operating in harmony with the Lord. Your flesh is always going to be in a fallen frequency. Now, your flesh is always going to hold you back. Your flesh doesn't want to get up in the morning and go to church. I mean, has your body ever told you in the morning, wake up, it's time to go to church? Your body always says, hey, please, put snooze on. It's time to sleep a little bit longer. That's the way the body is. We're speaking of your soul within the veil. There's a frequency within the veil that operates. Brabham says, and when Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes into your heart, he's in you with your temperament. And he's living his own life to his own will through you. So through that temperament. So the Holy Ghost, he's, God made you in a certain way, then he inspires you and anoints you. You elected, then you called, then you anointed, then you placed. Yeah, but there's a certain place. There's only certain things that you are compatible with, either in your career or in your spiritual calling. You're not compatible with a lot of things. You wouldn't fit in there. You would never be able to. You'll run out of steam. You'll run out of patience. You'll run out of whatever enthusiasm because you're trying to do something that you're not. What did Congressman Upshaw say? You can't be nothing that you hate. You can't be something that you're not. You can try and you can push for a while to try to be like somebody else, but you're original. And somebody in the hands of God who are themselves, they are blessing. They are blessing. When somebody gets in front of church on a Sunday and they sing a special and they themselves, it's a blessing. It's so nice when you're not trying to be somebody else. You're not trying to impersonate somebody else. You might take somebody else's song, but you sing it your own way. What a blessing that is. Because all that you are and all that you've been through, you're putting it into that song. And you sing it in a way that nobody else can sing that song. And that's going to minister to certain people at that time. You know, because you are just being yourself. You can't be nothing that you hate. And I think the problem is a lot of people are trying to be something that they hate. You're trying to be a dentist, but you hate. Go to the shops. You'll bear record with me. There's times. Just recently, the other day, I went to the shop and the guy who served me, as soon as we went outside, I said to the guys in the car, that guy's in the wrong profession. You know? That guy's not customer-oriented guy. Maybe that guy should be dealing with an engine in the back room or something, but I don't think that guy should be dealing with customers. He doesn't fit. As I come show in the hospital, you find a nurse who doesn't have the temperament of a nurse. Hey, when Daniel was sick those years back and we had to go around a lot of different doctors and specialists, so many of them, it was just a production line. You know, you get into the doctor, what's going on? Okay, yeah, next. And then finally, our doctor sent us to a specialist at the Craigavon Hospital. Her name was Dr. Shah. She was an Indian lady. And as soon as we got in there, and that lady sort of, I knew the problem was over. Because she was a real doctor. She was a mother. The first thing she was a mother. She could enter in when he was a young man and he's having these serious headaches and stuff. And then I knew straight away, this is what you need. Somebody who can connect. Somebody who's in their position, in their calling. What a blessing that it is in natural things as well as spiritual. Like Brother James as a mechanic. I mean, people bring their cars from all over, the other mechanics, because they can't find the problem. They give it to him. Because he operates at a very high frequency as a mechanic, you see. And especially when a person's spiritual, because you can pray. And then you wake up the next morning and you know exactly what it is that you need to do. Now, when you've got the two things going together, that's why Joseph could be great in the kingdom, because he was great in the spiritual realm as well. And God had fashioned him and formed him through his temperament and all the things he had gone through to be exactly what he was in the end. And that's why he was the son of prosperity, such a blessing, because he was exactly where God wanted him to be. And he was exactly what God wanted him to be. He says, Brabham speaks about himself. He says, everywhere I go, I can't stay there a few days and I'm ready to go somewhere else. I was born that way. My wife calls me restless winds. I'm just here and there. And that's an awful fix to be in, but I guess I had to be that way for my ministry. If you think you're an evangelist, but you hate being away from home, you're in the wrong calling. Yeah. Or you won't think you're a pastor, but you love being in everywhere else except for at home. You see, it goes along with your temperament. Some people are home folks. Some people don't want to move far from home. That's going to go along with the calling God gave them to. Others love to be here and love to be there. That's the temperament. Like the prophet there, you're restless winds. He says, Be thankful for all things. I am thus because I am thus. God made me what I am. And I can't be nothing else but what he made me. He says melancholy. So he knew his temperament. He was a melancholy. I can't be nothing but what he made me, melancholy, and those kind of things. He says, they tell me I just have to be that way in order to be the help that he sent me here to be. That's a man coming to terms with his idiosyncrasies, with the way God made him. Now, that I'm not the same as everybody else. Yeah, I'm not. I can't be like brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. But God made me the way that I am to fulfill a specific purpose and a specific role in life. He says, if that's the way I was supposed to be, that's what I want to be. Whatever's God's will, that's what I want to be. That's going to mean you're going to stop looking in the mirror and saying, Lord, please, can't you change me? Because you are the way that you are. God wants you to be the way that you are. God didn't make a mistake. We'll see that. Look what he said to Jeremiah in the Bible, the Lord. He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Wow, while you're still in the womb, the Lord says, I knew you. And I already had your path planned, that you were a prophet, and I made you that way. Because Jeremiah said, I can't speak, I'm a child. Who's going to listen to me? He says, before you were born, I ordained you to be a prophet. Amen. You know, it's quite a thing to think about, saints, especially in this vain age that we're living in, where everything is skin deep. Everything's just the appearance of things. Instagram and this and it's that kind of an age. God isn't just skin deep. It's the inside of the inside. It's the real you. And that is what people are looking for, is something that's authentic. None of us are perfect, but people will appreciate you if you're genuine. If you're just yourself and you're genuine, that's the best way to be. If I make a mistake and I'm genuine, the Lord understands and people understand. Look, somebody is doing his best. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't need the rubber at the end of his pencil. Now, we all need the rubber at the end of the pencil. But when he was designing you, he didn't need a rubber at the end of the pencil. Just say, no, that's good. No, he from the beginning, it was a perfect blueprint for you, a perfect blueprint for your life. Satan got in. We've messed it all up. Redemption comes in to put us back on track. That's what it's all about. I will restore, says the Lord. All of those years that Satan had, all of the years of the palmer worm, the caterpillar, the locust, I will restore, says the Lord. And he can do a quick work. You put yourself in the hands of the Lord and see how quickly God can get you lined up once again. And he'll restore, he'll bring back until you'll even forget those years of famine, those years in the wilderness, because of the goodness of the Lord that he's shown to you. But he doesn't make any mistakes. And when we're looking in the mirror and saying, my ears are too big, or we're looking in the mirror and saying, I wish I wasn't so tall, or if you're looking in the mirror and saying, but oh, I wish I'd, you're saying to God that he made a mistake. He didn't make any mistakes. You are the way that you are according to his will. And if you put yourself in his hands, you're going to find out that you're exactly what you're supposed to be. You're exactly what, Zacchaeus had to be a short man so that he could climb up in a tree. So Jesus would come to the lowest city in the world, yeah, and look up to the shortest man in the city. He had to be that kind of a guy. Yeah. God knows exactly what he's doing. So, Brother, I'm just the last quote, then we get on to looking a little bit more in depth at your temperament. He's out hunting, and he's trying to shoot, and he's just a little bit off target. His gun isn't sighted properly. And now he's shooting squirrels and he's not hitting. He would never shoot a squirrel until he could see it side on, hit it in the eye. So it was a clean kill. And now he's hitting, but he's not hitting them clean on. And he says, I started crying. Imagine. And I said, Lord, why did you make me a little nervous wreck? Why did you make me like this? Why can't I go out there and enjoy hunting like they do? And have to have the gun in a super condition. Now, Brabham had that temperament that if there was the slightest thing wrong with his car, he wouldn't travel. That's good unless you need to catch a lift with him somewhere and you're in a hurry. You know, that's one of those kind of temperament. Everything had to be in order. If you realize something's not perfect, he'd take it back, get it done, then he would travel. It's God made the man like that. And now he's out hunting. He can't get his gun sighted in, and he gets nervous about it. He's crying about it. And then he says, and the Holy Spirit came to me and said, sorry, I'll just mind that little thing. He says, the Holy Spirit came to me and said, I made you that way for a purpose. So you're looking at yourself saying, me, I'm a real complex sort of a person. I get irritated when things aren't going well. And you know, maybe I get nervous when things aren't lining up. The Holy Spirit, that's exactly the way I made you. And I made you that way for a purpose. The Holy Ghost said, when one says one thing, now as a minister, people guessing about the word, once that doesn't really matter about this, and no. When one says one thing and hit loosely like that, you can't stand it unless it's zeroing. You can't stand it unless you find it exactly right in the word. You see, it has to be on the dot or it's not right. I said, I see it, Lord. You see, that makes all the difference. And the Lord comes down to you and says, the reason I made you is because that goes along with your calling. People might look at you and say, you're a complex sort of a person. God made you a complex sort of a person. And as long as you're in the spirit, in the hands of the Lord, God made you that for a very specific purpose, so that you can handle things in a way that nobody else handles them. And he gives you that specific task because he's made you to handle that task. Now, when you're looking at the parallel between your career and your calling, these things go hand in hand. If you are good on one thing, I was joking that day, saying when I was first started my business in Zimbabwe, there back in Gwiribra, James knows about it, and it was an IT business. And then one company from Bulawayo Pro Micro approached me and said, will you sell PCs for us? I said, okay, that's fine. I was such a bad salesman. My dad said to me, look, if you're trying to sell PCs, I've got my friend down there, Mr. DeBrain. He's an old man, DeBrain's garage. He had a big petrol station and that. He was already established. Go and speak to him. He'll give you some business. I went down to his office, sat down with him. He says, Andrew, go and look around my business and see if there's anything you can sell me. So I looked around. I looked at all his computers. I came back inside. He said, okay, so what do I need? I said, to be honest, you need nothing. He says, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to be telling me that I need to buy some computers from you. Then I saw I'm never going to be a salesman. A salesman has to be made in a certain way. But when I got into teaching people things, you know, teaching people Microsoft Office and all that, that's where we made our good business from. So your natural calling will always go with your spiritual. If you are, like, it has to, because one's a natural frequency of the other. There'll always be a parallel of these things. You're never going to be successful out there in something. And it's completely different than what you are in the kingdom of God. Because both of them need the same temperament to succeed. So both of them are going to have a lot of similarities in them. So these things go together. There's that song which the young guys like to listen to, that he turns graves into gardens, or you know, all that. He turns DJs into song leaders. You'll find that. Look at the song leaders in church. They were the DJs in the disco when they were in the world. They were the ones jamming the guitars down there in the nightclubs, because that was the frequency inside of them. That was their temperament. They would respond to music in a certain way. Now, the devil had them in his hands then, but you get transformed by the power of transformation. Put that in the hands of the Lord. Those are the people now glorifying the Lord in song. You'll never get far from what you were. You can never get far, because your temperament, you are what you are, because God wanted you to be like that. So you start, what do we need to do? We need to align our calling, first of all, and our career with our personality. If we really want to have a successful life, and a life where you're not always complaining, you need to align these things together. That means sometimes it's not going to be the job with the most money. Sometimes it's not. No. You can have the job with the most money and your life is miserable. It ruins your family life and everything like that. Because God didn't make you like that. God didn't make you to be that kind of a person. There's an exact calling that he has for you. And why does this matter? Because there's so many people who are not happy with their jobs. And that's one of the reasons why so many people are not happy with their lives. Because the average person spends more than 90,000 hours of their lifetime at work. Yay! And you say, okay, in proportion, what is that? That's one third of your life. So basically, you're spending one third of your life sleeping. Some people more. One third of your life at work or things to do with your work. And one third of your life on other things. It's a huge portion of your life. So you don't want to be getting this one wrong. You don't want to be cranking away at something that's different than your temperament. That you're never going to be satisfied in. Look at these things from America. 36% of workers, only 36% of workers in America are engaged in their current job. The rest of them is just a job. Only 36% are really engaged in it. Just, hey, I'm looking forward to getting out there, finishing that project. They're really, the rest are passengers. You know, people are, and they know I've got to do it to get pay. I've got to tick all the boxes. I don't want to be one of those 64% of people. Sheesh. For 90,000 hours in your life. And every one of those hours, you don't really want to be doing what you're doing. And then you wonder why there's such dissatisfaction in people's personal lives. Because it spills over from work into a domestic life. You come home dissatisfied from work. It's going to need grace there in the home for people to be able to lift you up and you feel satisfied. Because it's a huge portion of your life. They say they're the second one. 33% of workers feel that they have reached a dead end in their career. One in three people. Then a dead end job. Then a job that they're just dead because they need the money. Just to pay their mortgage, pay their rent, pay their food, pay your university fees, whatever that it is. That's the only reason they're going to work. I don't believe God ordains that. I do believe the purposes and plans of God are far greater than that. His predestination, His leadership is so much greater than that. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. He doesn't want it to be like that. Look at job satisfaction in the United States. 9% of workers are happy with all aspects of their current job. 9% of people are saying, I'm really happy with everything about my job. That's a sad thing. You don't want it to be like that. The third one, 30% of workers have seriously considered quitting their job in the last 3 months. Almost one in three people have seriously considered quitting their job in the last 3 months. You tell me those people are lying in their bed at night satisfied with life. No. Surely that's not what life is supposed to be. That's how we saw it last week. God wants to call people when they're young. So He can direct you in the plan and purpose and course that He has for you. He doesn't want you to lead yourself into a dead-end job. He doesn't want you to lead yourself into a condition that every single day you're wishing you could get rid of that job, but you don't know what else you can do. That would be a sad thing to do. And God doesn't lead us like that. Sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. He's the one who needs to do it. So I went to look. I said, okay, if 30% of people are looking to say, I said, I wonder about pastors in America. You know, so I went and looked it up. This is, have you given real serious consideration to quitting being in full-time ministry within the last year? 41% of pastors in America had seriously considered quitting full-time work in the last year. 4 out of 10, 2 out of 5. Yeesh. Same. That's how the prophet says, you must be called, otherwise you'll be defeated. Don't get yourself into something that you're not called to do. I'll show you just the last one of these ones. I went to look this again. So why are these pastors wanting to quit? You might not be able to see it, but this one here from 66% all the way down to 35%, it says they feel more confident about their calling compared to when they first entered the ministry. Only 35% of full-time ministers are more confident in their calling now than when they entered the ministry. Two-thirds are less confident in their calling. Surely we should be growing in confidence in our calling. It just shows we've got into something without being led into it. And now you're in the ministry now and you're saying, but hey, I'm not really sure that I'm supposed to be doing this. That's what I'm saying, brother says, you must be called or you'll be defeated. It'll catch you down the way. We don't want to be doing that. Friends, I don't want to be doing this if I don't like doing this. Dealing with people, I think cars are a lot better. Cars don't talk back. cars aren't as complicated, and electronics and things like that. That's why you've got to find something that God calls you to, so that you can, you'll never want to leave that. There's only once in my whole time, once when he had problems, 2012 in church, where we sat at home and I said, I'm going to give this up now. Only once. And that was a turning point. But I don't think you really want that to be the norm. I think you want that to be the exception. I think you want that to be when you're really down in the valley and everything's against you. Rather than that being on a daily basis, you're lying in your bed saying, I just wish there was something else that I can do, but I don't know what else that I can do. No, we don't want that. So, to bring it to a close today, what temperament are you? Because if we wanted to have a look at careers and callings and lining up your nature with your career and your temperament, we'll only be able to start this today. We've done this before. Now, we know there's the four basic temperaments. These have been there ever since Aristotle in those days, and they really line up with Scripture. We spoke about this some years back, 3-4 years back, on transformed temperaments when you looked at that. But there's two groups of people. You either are extrovert or you introvert. So you're either an outward sort of a person or you're an inward sort of a person. That's your temperament. That's the basic qualification of a temperament. And that's going to already exclude you from so many things. If you're an introvert, you're not an evangelist. If you're an introvert, you're not a salesperson. You know, you can straight away see there's just certain classes and categories of careers and calling that just completely are out of the question if you're an introvert. If you're an extrovert, it really does depend now, because we'll see there's different kinds of extroverts. So there's certain people that are very outward, the extroverts, your sanguines and your cholerics. There's certain people that are very introverts, your melancholies, your phlegmatics. And they're divided into two. There's people that are very task-oriented, and there's people that are very people-oriented. Yeah. So you've got to decide yourself, am I more people-oriented or am I task? Do you like being given a project, working with a project, doing coding, making something, giving it to my boss? That's task-oriented people. Or are you a doctor, a nurse, a care worker, where you love the people-oriented side? You're a salesperson. Now, you're in human resources. You're a people, a customer-facing role, a people-facing role. These are the real fundamental things that go together with your nature. And I think each of us, you can start already to see which sort of direction you go in your temperament. It doesn't take much to see, because God didn't make this complicated. Now, God really put some really, really defined parameters here, and you can find where you are. Imagine not being a people person and having to do a job that deals with people all the time. That's going to be very, very hard. Like I said, when you go to the shops and you meet some of these people. Yet once in a while you get to the shop and you meet a gem of a person. Wow. We once broke down. We used to have our touring caravan, and we went to Scotland, and we're going down to the Lake District in England. And the guys are still young. And we're pulling it with our Galaxy those days. And then we had a problem. Hey, with the Galaxy. And I phoned AA. And the guy came. I actually emailed AA after that. I said, please give this guy a promotion. This guy was an angel in disguise. The guy came and stayed with us. He finished his shift. They phoned him and they said, you've gone over your allotted hours. I said, look, it's okay. I need to help these people. This is a family. They're trying to get 60 miles away to the camping site. And they're stuck by the motorway at the service station by the motorway. That guy put the family in his car, I think it was. He towed our caravan. He took us all the way to the caravan park in his own time while it was raining. Made sure we got set up there. He helped us even set everything up, and then he went back home. Hey, I said, once in a while when you meet somebody like that, it's not just a job. The prophet speaks of those old godly doctors. That they would go all night, if it was necessary, walking out there in the woods because some child was sick in the middle of the night. Wow, and he says, there's a place in heaven for that kind of a doctor. You know, because blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let's come to a close. But we can see how this thing is divided. Let's just go a little bit further. So we put it, when you looked at the temperaments, you can take it to the characters of the Bible. You can see your choleric is Saint Paul. These are the pioneers. These are the strong natural leaders. These are the people that are driven. These are the people that are not deterred. If things go wrong, it just makes them more determined to get their job done. When they have a task, nothing can stop them. Don't get in their way. You'll regret it if they're on their way to. You know, those kind of people you give something to at work and they are just so driven to get the job done. Everyone else will be seeing 10,000 reasons why it can't be done. To them, it doesn't matter. Paul says, none of these things move me. Yeah. They're just pressing on. They're that kind of a person. And then you have your sanguines like Peter. You know, they're like the talkative kind of people. They talk and talk and talk until they get themselves in trouble. Yeah, he's there at the fire at the high priest's palace and they say, your speech betrays you. You wanted this galley, and then he denies Jesus. They're people very given to an atmosphere. When the atmosphere is good, they're the life and soul of the party. You know, they're the one making all the jokes. They're the one inviting everyone to the house, and there's not enough food in the fridge. You know, those kind of people, very impulsive people. You know, that kind of a nature. You find very good people, people-oriented people. People like Paul, not saying spiritually. Now, spiritually, Paul, when he is transformed, it does lean you another way. But people like Paul, they're task-oriented in the business world. You know, they've got something that needs to be done. Let's get this thing done. Whereas people like the sanguine people like Peter, they're more people-oriented. We'll see it. Melancholy people are like Moses. They're the moody people. Baruch says they're the musicians, they're the artists, people that can go high in the spirit, get an inspiration, come down and be low in the valley like Elijah. They're very sensitive, the most spiritual of all the temperaments, but that can be such fluctuations in their moods. Now you meet them one day, they're so full of inspiration. The next day you meet them and bum, I'm no better than my fathers like Elijah. Lord, take me off the earth. You know, it's that kind of a nature. And then finally there's the phlegmatics, which are like Abraham. These are the consistent people. These are the peacemakers in life. These are the people that don't want confrontation. These are the people that they're just perfect people to have as friends. They're faithful. They're reliable. You know, they're the backroom guys. They're not seeking for popularity, not trying to make themselves something big, but they're just good, old, reliable people. You know, so Abraham was the perfect type of a phlegmatic sort of a person. So let's just look at one of them and then we'll finish. But we'll see, if you want to find out who you are, which boxes do you tick? So I'm just going to put some things on here and see which one you identify yourself with. So let's say, first of all, the basic aim, in just a few words, of each of these temperaments. Choleric people, the basic aim, get it done. You know, that's what it is. Give them something. What's the aim? I've got to get this done. That's the most important thing. Sanguine people, have fun. Yeah, I'm sure we know that. That's what it is. I've got to get it done, but I wish I didn't have to do this. And you start joking, and hey, let's do this. And you start, you know, those kinds of people. Phlegmatic people, take it easy. That's what they want. I just want peace. Okay, let me work hard so I can have peace. You see, it's that kind of a temperament. Melancholy people, get it right. Yeah, very particular. This has got to be done, and it's got to be done properly. So you'll find yourself a little bit inside of there, I'm sure. The number one priority, each of these temperaments, the cholerics, is the task. Get the results. That's the most important thing to them. I've got to get this done. It's got to be met within these milestones. It's got to be this budget. They don't really worry about the people, you know. They don't really worry about all the collateral damage along the way, naturally speaking. They just want to get the job done. If they sent into a company to make that company profitable again, 2/3 of the staff lose their jobs. You know, they're not people-oriented, they're task-oriented. I've been paid to do a job, this is the job that I need to do. Sanguine people, what's the most important thing to them? Is relationships. Talking to as many people as they can, connecting with as many people as they can. That's just natural for a sanguine person. They just love to connect with people. Phlegmatic people, they also love relationship, but they're looking for friendship. They don't want to just connect and bounce around with a lot of people. They're looking for friends. They're looking for security. They're looking for something that's going to last and stand the test of time. And melancholy people, it's the process now. The process is more important than the results. We've got to get it done properly. You know, you find in the business world, those like choleric people, the strong natural leaders, they'll bend all the rules, bypass all the health and safety to get the result. but to a melancholy person, no, you can't do that. We've got to do it according to the script. It's got to be done precisely. So can you see, we need all of these kinds of people at work. We need all of these kinds of people in the kingdom of God, because each of these is going to balance out the other. Yeah. The ones that are too quiet, the noisy guys, are going to encourage them to become a little bit more noisy. The ones that are too noisy, the quiet guys, are going to restrain them a little bit. Those ones that are too task-oriented, you know, you need your Peters and your sanguines. But these are people. This is flesh and blood you're dealing with. You know, we all need people to balance us, because naturally speaking, we're not a people of balance. Let's finish off the key words. If you have a few words, key words for these temperaments. The choleric, dominating, directing. They always want to be dominating. No, this is, no, don't do it like that. No, I know what I'm saying. I know better than you. It's that kind of a temperament. Sanguine, influencing, interacting. That's really what they love to be doing. Yeah? Influencing people, encouraging people, interacting with people. That's a great, great temperament for people to have if it's put in the hand. Phlegmatic, supporting, stabilizing. They want it to be peaceful. No. Hey, guys, let's not complain. Let's sort this thing out. Lot, you go this way. We don't need to have strife, Lot. Why don't you choose where you want to go? You know, it's that kind of a character. We need those kinds of a people. Their fears. What's the greatest thing that each temperament fears? The choleric's fear losing control. They want to be in control. They don't want somebody else. They want to lose control of what they're doing. They don't want someone to take advantage of them. That's unthinkable. To the natural man, who's strictly a choleric, he doesn't want people to take advantage of him. No, you don't take advantage of me. I know I'm the boss here. Your sanguine people, what's the thing they fear? Losing status. Social disapproval. Their peers looking down on them. No, they've got to be the life and soul. You know, they've got to be, hey, I'm always the man for the hour. Phlegmatics, what do they fear? Instability. They don't like it when there's instability or confrontation. They'll do almost anything they can to avoid confrontation. They see confrontation coming and say, oh, I can see there's going to be a problem. And they'll do everything they can to fix it before it gets to being the problem. Whereas choleric people are not like that. Bring on the confrontation. You know, that's how they don't mind the confrontation at all. It's all part of the process. Melancholy. They fear imperfection, embarrassment. They don't like that. So I'm sure each of us can find a little bit where we are. And finally, when you're under pressure, how do you react under pressure? The choleric is critical. He can be harsh. Like King Saul, when he said to Jonathan, you son of the perverse woman, in public. You know, they can say hard things in public. Direct, confrontational. That's a choleric sort of a person. Sanguine person, when they're under pressure, they're inconsistent. Like Peter. You say one thing today, you get caught and, you're changing your, no, I didn't mean that. No, they're very inconsistent. Phlegmatic people, under pressure, like Abraham, they get indecisive. There's pressure. Sarah's taking too long to have a child. Yeah? Finally, she says, why don't you go into Hagar? Here comes Ishmael. There's problems in the camp. Abraham takes so long to solve the problem. Yeah, they get indecisive sometimes when the pressure's on. And finally, melancholies, they get critical as well. You get a critical spirit very easily because they're perfectionists. Things must be done a certain way. But the problem with them is they pass the buck. You know? That wasn't really my fault. It was his fault. He should have done his job. That's a sad thing. Okay, I'm going to go right down to just look at choleric. I'm going to skip through because you've looked at this. But let's look at possible career paths. So if you're a choleric person, we'll look at the other ones next time. But if you're a choleric person, if that is your nature, like Paul, let's say that's the lion, the ox, the man, they're the lion. They're very self-sufficient, very independent people. Naturally domineering, and they can be a dictator if they're not in the spirit. Hard and cruel when they're not in the hands of the Lord. They can be. They don't easily submit. Very ambitious. King Saul. The Apostle Paul. Naaman the Syrian. These strong leaders. That when they've got the idea, I'm not dipping in that river 7 times. If I want to dip, I'm going to dip in my own river. And you'll almost forsake your own mercies because of your temperament. You've got to get that temperament out of the way sometimes. What about the sons of thunder? You know, that's really who they were, James and John. These people don't want to give Jesus food. Let's call fire from heaven. Bah! Let's get the job done. They didn't really think about the people. But what are their strengths? They're natural leaders. Strong-willed people. Project-oriented, even visionary. They can see what needs to be done. Determined, it's not easy to deter them. They're usually, when they're given a job, they see it through. These are the pioneers of life. These are the missionaries and, you know, the apostles and those people that can get out there. And places where Christ was never preached and sleep rough. And they've got a vision. They've got a purpose. And they'll go through diseases and they'll go through persecutions. It doesn't move them. And you need those kinds of people. And then other people enter in after them to polish things up and build things up and get everything in order. But you need them. So what kind of, if you have that kind of a nature, it's obvious. What is your possible career path? Number one, business leadership. You're a leader, generally speaking, in business. You like the project. You like the task. You like a vision. When you see something needs to be done, bah, let's get the job done. Management. These are normally people in management positions. Project management. Yeah? Because you love the project. You know, you love all your milestones and ticking things off. We did this, we did that. We've hit it on the head. Law. Being in lawyers, judges, perfect for them. Yeah, they're the sorts of people that really do rejoice when somebody comes before them and 15 years hard labor. You know, it's that kind of a temperament. They can be not people, person people, but what are they? They'd rather look and say, there's a task that needs to be done. I need to judge this person. Bah! And they judge them. So they can be very good at law. Law enforcement, security, policemen and stuff. You don't want people that compromise on that. You want guys getting out there. There's the drug guys. It's dangerous. We've got a task. We need to clean out this neighborhood. You don't need soft sort of people to do that kind of a job. You need people that have got that kind of nature. Engineering. Projects. Those big kind of jobs. We need to get this job done. Scientific research. Similar. We wanted to find a cure for this. Can you? Yeah, and keeping your team going and never losing focus on what the job is to get the job done. So you'll find that depending on the way that the Lord made you, the final one, Abraham says that, God will work with his creature the way that he's made him. So you can tell, as we just finish up next week and look at these other temperaments and the characteristics of them, it's not a difficult thing to start finding out which way you lean, which way God made you, which is your natural direction that you're going to gravitate to if you're just being led of the Lord and following the temperament that he gave you. But what is the biggest enemy to these things? Is self. Yeah. What is the biggest thing to really the leadership of the Lord? Is self. When we put ourselves ahead and instead of submitting ourselves to the Lord and following him naturally the way that he's made us and the way that he wants us to go. Sometimes, especially with choleric people, can be very ambitious. They say, no, I want to do this. Yeah? And the Lord's saying, but I don't want you to do that. And it's overcoming self. And I think that is the key in each and every one of these temperaments when you look at them. The blessing comes to the overcomer. We've got to overcome ourselves. We've got to yield ourselves and put ourselves into the hands of the Lord. And when you look at career path and these things, anybody who's led of the Spirit is going to take care of itself. Because the Holy Ghost has really planned out your life. He's really plotted things for you. He's going to lead you in the way that he ordained you to go. But I think as with marriage, it's very easy for a person to think this is the right person and it's not. And everybody else can see it and say, but you're not on the same frequency. You're not really, there's not that something there that should be there. And sometimes we need other people to help us to stay on course in these things so that we can do the will of God. So let's stand, saints. Let's finish off there. I'm sure you just want to be what the Lord wants you to be, because that's what I want to be. Let's ask Brother James to come after we pray. You know, that song that says, he knows my name. It's such a blessed thought. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. Let's just be thinking of that as we pray. If anybody desires prayer, why don't you raise your hand to the Lord this evening and say, Lord, help me. Maybe you're in a valley of decision. Maybe you're seeking the Lord's restoration, whatever it is inside of your life. You're needing to hear from the Lord. You're wanting to follow His leadership once again. Maybe you got off course, but you can feel the Lord is saying, it's time to come back to your destiny. It's time to come back to your purpose. It's time to come back to your calling. Father, we do thank you for your mercy, Lord. And Father, how we do think of it, how if it wasn't for your grace, just how many times we've made the wrong choices. But even in that, you always manage to bring things back to the place where they should be. And Father, we just desire that, Lord. Even as your prophet said, Lord, what you will is the best for us, Lord. Yes. That if you've ordained it for us, what a blessed thing that it is. You know your thoughts, Lord. You know your purpose. You know your plan. I pray for each of your people upon this evening, Lord. Every person, Father, in their callings, Lord, both naturally and spiritually, Lord. Father, some are coming to the end of their days. Some, Lord, can look back and can see the goodness of the Lord and can see even the mistakes that they made and how what a blessing those people are when they can impart that to the generation yet to come. And Father, some are just starting off and they're looking to you because they want to find and walk in your will for their lives. Lord, may you guide them and lead them, we pray. May you make it plain, Lord. And even in your body, Father, the callings in your body, we all want to be used of you. Father, we all want to be a part, Lord, contributing something to your body for your glory. So guide us and lead us, we pray. I do pray for them that aren't here this evening. May you be with them, Lord. Do pray for your people gathered, Lord, online. Bless them as well, Father. Guide our footsteps. Bless our young people. Bless each brother. Bless each sister, Lord. You know the needs that we have. And we thank you for this place. We thank you for this evening, Lord. Be with us as we finish off, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Okay, you pass that on the other way.
That's okay. Any other one, Simon. You know the best.
Let's finish with hymn 37. Have thine own way, Lord.
It's Ephraim.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, O yes, after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord. Oh, yes, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Than snow, oh, wash me just now, oh, is it thy presence, humbly I bow, oh, Lord, have thine own way.
way for wounded and weary. Help me, I pray, my Lord, power, all power, oh, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior, today. My Lord, have thine own way, Lord. Oh, have thine own way. Oh, yes, hold all my being. Oh, absolute sway, my Lord, fill with thy spirit, oh, till all shall see, oh, Christ only, always living in me.
Let's sing here, 181. Is it 181? I think so. Got any rivers? A flat.
Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Oh, got any mountains you can't tunnel through?
It's very low. It's very, it's a bit low. Let's try it in. Let's try it in D.
Be of good courage, God spake unto Joshua. When all the river, God pointed the way. Jordan uncrossable, things seem impossible. Waters divide as they march. Oh, God, any river you think are uncrossing. Hallelujah. Mountains you can't turn. Oh, my God, shall I see in things thought impossible? And he will do what no other power can do. Oh, yeah, battles to win, they would meet with the obstacle. Jericho's walls too must fall to the ground. God never failed his to back on his promises. Holds it to crumble is the man. Oh, my Lord, any rivers you think are unforced, good any mountain, oh, you can't turn. Oh, my God, shall I see in things not impossible? And he will do what no other power can do. Oh, yes, God is the same. His word is dependable. He'll make a way through the waters for you. Life's situation by him amendable. Mountains and hills, you. Hallelujah, God, any river you think are one crucible. Oh yes, but any mountains you can't turn you. Oh my God, in things so impossible, and he will do what no other. Oh my Lord, God in a river, you think are uncrossable. God in a mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things so impossible, and he will do what no other power can do.
Amen. But I'm a person who is, my concern when I'm doing my job is the result.